Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to go ahead in time. That's right. We're going to be going to the year 2012. We have a wonderful guest, Jay Wiedner. And Jay, welcome to the show. Hello? Oh, my goodness. Hi, this is Donna. If you wondered what the blip was, we haven't a clue. We had some gremlins, apparently, that were wandering around in the electronic system and said, well, we're just going to pull the plug on this one. Jay Wiedner is my guest today. We're going to be talking about the mystery of 2012, predictions, prophecies, and possibilities. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
You are quite an accomplished man. You participated in this publication along with a number of very well-known individuals like Barbara Max Hubbard and Daniel Pinchbeck and Greg Braden. I mean, there's just so many people that participated in this 2012 publication. You yourself, you're a writer, you're a filmmaker, and you're a hermetic scholar. You have authored Mysteries of the Great Cross, Attende, Alchemy, and the End of Time, and A Monument to the End of Time, and some other things as well. You've done documentaries, The Healing Power of Sacred Art. I mean, you've just done so very, very much. Why were you interested in being a part of this collaboration regarding 2012? I know there's all of this hype that's going on. It reminds so much of what went on with the year 2000 itself. What intrigued you about this, Jay, and why did you feel you wanted to address it?
Well, actually, it started a long, long time ago when I first discovered this mysterious cross in the south of France, the Cross of Hende, which I've written two books about, and a couple documentaries. And the Cross of Hende is a 400-year-old cross that sits in a churchyard in Hende, France, which sits on the border with Spain in southwestern France. And I first found out about it through a book written by a mysterious anonymous gentleman who called himself Fulcanelli, who purported to be an alchemist. And he said in the book that this Cross of Hende was describing the events that would happen at the end of our age. Now, this is in 1986 when I first came across this, and I became incredibly intrigued by this cross and spent the next 13 years deciphering it with various other people's help also. And essentially, around 1998, I finished my research into the Cross of Hende. I knew nothing about the Mayan calendar or any of these other things, but I reached the conclusion that the Cross of Hende was saying that this age is going to end somewhere between 1992, 93, and 2012. And that as this age progressed, this 20-year cycle progressed more closely as it approached 2012, things were going to get weirder and stranger. And, you know, in 1998, I didn't know what to believe. I kind of said, well, I was really just a journalist trying to find out if all of this was true. And in 1998, I didn't really believe it, but I reported it dutifully because I was a good journalist, but here I am almost 11 years later, and I'm completely convinced now that there is something going on, and that spurred on my original curiosity about the year 2012. Since then, I've met John Major Jenkins and Daniel Pinchbeck and all the people that are also studying this, you know, date in the future that we have with destiny, and can only conclude that the human race has an inherent psychic ability which is atrophied, and that this is where these prophecies are coming from this innate psychic ability which allows us to peer into the future and see what's about to happen to us. And the Mayans had it, and the Incas had it, and the alchemists had it, the Jews, the Christians, early Christians. A lot of different people had it, and I think that's the most fascinating part, is that there's so many various cultures on Earth all saying something about this time period, and here we are approaching it, and it really does look like it might be the end of this particular age or this particular time period, and a new one is coming into focus. And I think that we need to not face what's going on with fear. We need to face it with an unerring optimism, because what's about to happen is going to be so wonderful that we should all be really happy that we're living in the time period that this is occurring.
Your research in this one particular aspect, like you said, has linked you with some other people that have done their own kind of research. From what I have been able to observe, 2012, the emphasis especially was caused because of the Mayan calendar, what's left, that we have very little of the Mayan material and records, because so many hundreds of thousands, who knows, maybe millions of pieces of material were destroyed.
That's right.
By the Spaniards.
Yes.
So we have this, and it is a very complex component to decipher. The Mayans were so very, very talented. I mean, way beyond what we have just ever imagined. Their capability of working with numbers and being able to work with the level of astronomy as they did, they were so far beyond us in so many levels in certain ways. In other ways, they weren't. But for their time, their technology of awareness and knowledge, what we do have, the remnants that we have, really started this, didn't it?
It did, and one of my good friends, John Major Jenkins, who's also in the book, was the one who really deciphered, he didn't decipher the end date, but he did decipher the fact that the end date of the long count Mayan calendar, the December 21st, 2012 end date, coincides with, of course, the winter solstice, which is on itself curious. But even more curious is the fact that because astronomy programs were finally released for laptop computers in the early and mid-90s, he was able to plop in the date on the Voyager software, the astronomy software, and lo and behold, he saw that at 11:11 in the morning of December 21st, 2012, the sun and the center of the galaxy will be rising together. And then it all became completed, because now we understood what the basis of the calendar was for and what time period they were watching. Now, I want to make sure that we understand this. I'm not saying that the galactic alignment is going to cause the age to end. That may very well be true. I don't know. But I'm saying is that the galactic alignment is like when both hands of the on a clock are together at noon or at midnight. So it's really just a gigantic clock, and it's telling us when noon comes, or midnight, depending on how you want to look at it, that is the time when these events will occur. So I don't want to make anyone make the mistake of drawing an illusion between the galactic alignment and events on Earth, although in my heart I believe there is a link. I could never prove that link, but I can prove that there is a galactic alignment, that the Mayans are watching this, that the people who built the Cross of Hende were watching it, and it's probably the central thesis to a vast ancient religious philosophy that existed on Earth thousands of years ago, and the Mayan calendar and the Cross of Hende and these other things are just remnants, memories strewn on the landscape of human culture. Fortunately today, because of the internet, shows like this, computers and software programs, we are able to look into the past and also compare notes among various researchers, mm-hmm. and that has created a confluence of understanding about the ancient modalities of astro alchemy and the fact that as above, so below. So that which happens in the heavens is reflected here on Earth.
One of the components that someone was very challenging. I was discussing the book with a person, and we were discussing the Mayan calendar and how various things have been coming up more and more into media. And it fascinates me how so often the tone is doomsday, fatalistic. It's as if there's something that people want to grab onto that way. And my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that they were saying it was the end of the world, because we don't have what they worked with. But a question was posed to me that I thought was an interesting one, and I want to ask you this question. Why do you think it was that the Mayans were projecting so far out in the future when they weren't even going to be around 5,000 years from now?
That's a great question.
And I said, this is a question that really deserves to be answered. When we look at projections with the people that I've known that have been involved in astrology, they'll go ahead maybe a few years, maybe even 100 years, but they don't go ahead 5,000 years, as it has been said the Mayans did. So the question is, what was it? What was the purpose? The Mayans had multiple calendars. They worked mathematically on so many different levels, which was a big surprise to me. And I had someone say, well, how many calendars do you have in your house? I said, well, basically, it's one. I might have six or seven different types, but it's basically the same calendar. But they had a number of different calendars.
Yes. Well, they were obsessed with time. And this harkens back to the essay I wrote in that book. Time is a variable, and I probably can't get into this on the radio too much because it's a visual explanation. But if you read my essay in the book, you'll see that time folds in on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And as we approach the null point at the end of the cycle of time, time speeds up so that every second is faster than the second that happened before.
And that's how people are feeling today.
Oh, yeah.
All ages. This isn't just, used to be, they'd say, well, when you get old, everything moves really fast.
No.
Forget this nonsense.
Even kids are experiencing it.
Yeah.
I know. My niece just complained the other day, and she's only 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we approach this null point, there's a membrane which sort of surrounds the cone of time. And as we approach the null point at the end of the age, this membrane shrinks down into down to a single point. And as we approach it, the waves of time bounce off the membrane and bounce back into the past. I'm trying to explain this the best way I can on the radio.
Sure.
And so the Hindus said that the only time that prophecy actually becomes doable and usable is in the last age, the Iron Age, or the Kali Yuga. And that's because of the squeezing of time. As time squeezes, we get more backflow going, and every single person almost becomes a prophet, especially as we approach the final 4 years like we are now. And you're going to see psychic ability is going to skyrocket. They already know when they're being lied to now, whereas 10 years ago, they weren't so sure about it. But now everyone is wisening up. And the reason they're wisening up is because the truth of who we are is becoming self-evident. And who we are is not a species of animals. We are incredibly enlightened beings who just need to wake up. And that is, the reason that the Mayans did this was an act of compassionate genius. They left us this calendar, they left us this knowledge, because they felt for us, and they wanted us to get through the null point that exists at the end of this age, and they were giving us as many warnings as they possibly could, and so were other races and beings around the planet. And I think that, in a way, 2012 becomes the fulcrum point for all of esotericism, all spiritual thought, because we can use it to unite various spiritual modalities and see that, in fact, they are all one. And when we do that, then we will no longer need the religions and things that we've been living off of for the past few thousand years, and we will instantly create a synthesis of spiritual thought. And I think that's where we're heading. And I think that's why 2012 is so obsessive for people of a spiritual bent, because they know that this is their chance to define not only the future, but who we will be in the future.
A point that is brought out in the very beginning of the book is also the mentioning of the changes in the earth. And many times it's easy to ignore the way Mother Nature works and the fact that for millions and millions and millions of years, this planet has been here and has gone through tremendous upheavals on the landmass level. And we're beginning, because of our technology, to find a number of remnants that people said, no, they didn't exist. And there is so much that is evolving, and there is a concern about magnetic decline. And, of course, we're not in this universe all by ourselves. There's a lot of other celestial bodies, if you will, that are out there floating around us. One of them is the moon, and you get certain planets coming in. They have an effect on the gravitational pull. You have all kind of volcanic activity. You have so many things that are going on underneath the land surface itself. And I find it very interesting that a lot of people are ignoring it. But in this book, this is not the case. There is a wonderful abundance of information from various individuals that talk about solar storms. There's all kinds of research and information regarding just what you've mentioned about the mental shift. Our technology has evolved so that we are able to communicate more readily and more openly than before. A lot of things are breaking down the quote-unquote old institutions of type. They're not able to deal with the changes that are being implemented so rapidly. It used to be you had 30, 50 years, sometimes 100 years, sometimes a couple of 100 years before technology started really moving forward. But, boy, that hasn't been the case in the 20th century, and definitely not in the 21st century.
No, in fact, I often use the analogy of the movie The Titanic. In the movie The Titanic, the reason I became so interested in this movie is because it was the biggest hit of all time in movies. And so I went to it after it was already a big hit because I wanted to find out why people wanted to go see this movie. I thought it was incredibly curious because you already know the ending before you enter the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows the Titanic sank.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to figure out why people were coming to this movie in mass droves, made I think almost $1.5 billion, far in excess of Star Wars or E.T. or any of those. So I was in the theater, and I was watching it, and I noticed that one of the first lines was, not even God can sink the Titanic. And a hush kind of drifted in the crowd, because we all knew that that was not true.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titanic is an iron ship. And it has classes. The lower class are in the hull, and the upper class are in the upper stories, and the lower class cannot go where the upper class is, and vice versa. And it's surrounded by the wilderness of the ocean, and it is a completely artificial environment. And when the captain, or when the captain tells the first mate to turn on all five engines, and the first mate says, "But captain, there's ice fields ahead." He says, you know, damn the ice fields. You know, we're the Titanic. And he sends us in. We know at that point that his reaction times are going to be slowed because he turned on all the engines. And we know what's coming. And that's why the movie is such a hit, because the movie is an incredible metaphor for what we're going through right now. Each second is speeding up. Each second, each moment is faster than the moment before, and our reaction times are slowing down. In other words, we have less and less time to react to each situation as it appears. And that is, you know, anyone can extrapolate on that idea and realize that we are headed for a crash of some kind. What it is, no one knows. My point is this. Just because there is magnetic fields declining, possible solar storms, economy falling apart, terrible things going on in the Middle East right now, the point of this is that we're going to be better off after the crash. And, and the crash is coming, and it's inevitable. So we have to start living as if the crash has already happened, and then we will survive and thrive. And I believe that we're all going to be much better off very soon, and that the trappings of the artificial economy and the artifices of a kind of almost a fake world that we're living in right now are going to just slip away, and we're only going to be concerned with the things that are tangible and real in this life, like good food and love and music. And I think that's where we're headed. I think we're all going to be much happier in 10 years. I think we're all going to look back and go, what were we thinking about? Why were we acting like that? And we're going to be a little bit embarrassed, I think, by the way that we've been acting the last 50 or 100 years.
Well, when you think about how many centuries we have worked so diligently at having cultural differences and emphasizing them to a point where it's you and me, or it's them and us.
Yes.
And because of the communication capacity, when you think of even just 100 years ago, and that's not very much in the universal scheme of things.
No.
When you think of today, it is so easy for a surgeon in Michigan to talk to one in China.
Yes.
And tell him how to do a surgery.
Yes.
You have people in Africa. I mean, on this station, we have people listening in from England. We have them in Jamaica. We have them in New Zealand. You have them all over the world. Why? Because there is an establishment of communication that people have an option to dip into if they so desire. And we are so mobile that this isolationism is being forced to change. And it's a very difficult issue to deal with if that's all you've ever known and you say, this is the only way things are done. And looking, and this may sound very commonplace, but looking at the entirety of the fact that what goes on in Africa affects us in the United States. What goes on in the polluted waters of the Arctic affects everybody around the world. What goes on in Japan. We have this awareness that's growing that I think is quite phenomenal. And I think that in that awareness, the younger generation is questioning why there has to be a separational attitude. And so there is going to be, like you said, some kind of a crash. And just like computer systems can get overloaded, I don't care how swift and fast they get, there are times that until they are adapted to a greater informational processing capacity, they will crash and burn. And it doesn't take very much to do that. And I think that there is so much that is happening so rapidly that a lot of people are scratching their heads. They said, wait a minute, this is Tuesday. You said this happened yesterday. I mean, it's phenomenal.
It is. It's and I think that, you know, we've never been in these territories before. They're completely uncharted waters, and we don't know what to do. Now, it's hilarious because even the economic experts on the news really don't know what to say. And what we have here is one of the big problems that we face today is that computers, God bless them, but they've created such complex systems that I'm not sure anyone can actually understand the overarching whole picture anymore. I think this is what's going on with the auto companies. I think those CEOs of those companies actually have very little idea what's actually going on in their companies. And watching them on TV, I could see that they didn't know. And I think the same thing's true with the Secretary of Treasury and the people running the wars. And I don't think that anybody is smart enough to understand the complexity of the systems. And so the systems, that's going to guarantee that the systems are going to have to be simplified. Now, how does that simplification come about? Well, you know, it's either going to be done by us deliberately or it's just going to happen and we're going to have to simplify. And I think that it's going to be the latter, and you're absolutely right. We stand on the cusp of this incredible time period where we know everybody in the world, where we can receive emails from New Guinea and Australia, like I do every day, and you start finding out that actually we're not that different.
Right.
And another thing that happens with this is it's like when you're in a relationship with a friend or a lover, you begin anticipating their thoughts and they begin anticipating yours. It's kind of a psychic connection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because familiarity breeds that kind of psychic ability. And what we're doing is we're becoming familiar with each other on a worldwide basis. And I think that I feel sorry for the politicians, all of them, because pretty soon they're not going to be able to tell us anything. We're already going to know what's going on. And they're going to be befuddled as to how to handle us.
Well, and I think you've made a very good point. It's a process of education, and I will use myself as an example. I enjoy technology, but I don't have a computer hooked at my hip. I was on the phone with someone that they had a computer in front of them and going bleep, 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 bleep. And I said, gee, you're really educating me. They say, uh-huh. So, you know, it's fascinating because I see this with younger people. I see it with older people, and it's that recognition we're not in this alone. Isolationism is sometimes appropriate if you're on a vision quest, but the reality is we're all on this planet together. And to integrate, to be able to communicate, it means that we have to unlearn some of our hardwired training. And I really like all of the various points of information that you had in your section, the Peruvian shamans, and I know we're just about out of time here, and all of the wonderful authors that have contributed their thoughts, their expertise in this book. It is not doomsday. It is information. And you have a choice of being able to decide how you want to assimilate it. But for heaven's sakes, don't look at 2012 as the end of the world. It is not. It is a representation of a shift, of a change. And Jay has been my guest today, and I'll tell you what, I just think that it's great you were able to participate in this, Jay, and your website, you have, give us your website, and then of course there's just so many other people and I'm not going to have time to mention that.
Sure.
But what is yours?
Yeah, well, I have two websites. One is my own website, Jay Weidner, that's JayWeidner.com, which has free articles and all sorts of goodies in it. And then our overarching website, which has our two new films, 2012, The Odyssey, and Time Wave 2013, which with a lot of the people that are in the book, Jose Arguelles and Greg Braden and a lot of others, Alberto Violdo. That's at sacredmysteries.com, www.sacredmysteries.com. Great website. Go there. We're starting a new school in 2009 to talk about these mysteries. And lots of good things happening. It's the beginning of a new world. And the subtitle to 2012, The Odyssey, our first film, is Armageddon is Not What It Used to Be. And I think that's kind of what we have to take to this at this point.
I agree. Jay, thanks so much for being my guest today. Jay Weidner, go to his website, sacredmysteries.com. Also, you have the other one that he mentioned. But we are taking a break. Jay, again, thank you so much. Fascinating topic. Lots of good thoughts. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me. Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open now. Happy New Year to all of you. And if I didn't have a chance to interact with you on Friday, well, telephone lines are open today. So give me a call if you'd like me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also in Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're in the U.S., you can call in on that line as well. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I wanted to say, if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, hey, I will like to know where you're calling from, and then I'll give you what I perceive. Don't ask you any questions, but you're welcome to ask me a question after I finish giving you information. So again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Now, for those of you who are waiting for the newsletter, I must apologize. I have not gotten it out yet. We are transferring over to a different server system for the newsletter so that we don't have the catastrophe happen like it did last month. And that was people getting newsletters time and time again. Like 15, 16, 20 times because of the corruption in our primary server's system. So I don't want that to happen. So we are setting something up with a different environment so that everything will be able to be sent out and that will not occur a second time. That was not fun. And if any of you got it, you're saying, oh yes, Donna, I kept hitting the delete button. Remember, this was not me. I'm not one that would do that. So anyhow, we are taking care of that, so the newsletter is a little bit late in getting out. So for those of you that want to know what's coming up, we're going to be talking tomorrow with Barb Rogers, Keeping It Simple and Sane. Delightful, delightful publication. We're going to be sharing a lot of good concepts with you. And then A Better Brain at Any Age, Sandra Kornblatt. He is an author that has taken time to investigate what we can do to keep our brains active and healthy. And then Chet McDonald is going to be my guest on Thursday. This is a very special man. The book is titled All He Needs for Heaven. Chet is a man that has accomplished a great deal, and his story is a fascinating one, and we're going to be sharing it with you. And then psychic surgery and faith healing, do you believe in it? What do you know about it? Well, we're going to talk with Jessica Bayman. She has written a book regarding her experiences in the Philippines. So we've got just a wonderful lineup. We've got a terrific group of people this month. Of course, I like to think all my authors are pretty terrific. Each and every person that's taken the time to put information into a book that I've interviewed on the air generally has very good information to share. So tell your friends. Have them join us when they can. Don't forget, we archive the shows. Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to the show, dear. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
Helene, calling from New York.
Oh, Helene, where are you? In New York City?
Right outside the city, northern New Jersey.
In northern New Jersey. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Glad to have you on the show, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. Helene, the first thing that is coming into my mind is the word discipline, follow through, and you are going to be breaking a habit, a mold, a belief system of some kind, and you've been working on this for a long time. This isn't something that has been easy for you to reach, and I'm seeing it just very easily. It's like I'm seeing you in a cocoon, and your head is out of the cocoon, and you're trying to break the shell, the false shell. You don't need it for protection anymore. Of course, this is symbology in my mind. And I'm seeing you all of a sudden being able to crack it right in half, and it floats away. And you're going to say to yourself, that was easy. Why did I think I had to work so hard to reach this point? Now, what's happening with you in the year 2009? You're changing your priorities. You are looking at putting certain things in the forefront where you had them sort of on a back burner, thinking, well, I'll wait until I'm 105 and then I'll get to it. That's not the case. You have gone through a number of emotional loop-de-loops during the last two and a half years. What this has done, it has actually, in my mind's view, caused you to sort of wake up. And that's where some old belief systems, some old attitudes, you're saying, I don't need these anymore. They don't fit. Sort of like trying to wear a girdle. Doesn't work anymore. You don't want to be hemmed in, so to speak. And this is very good. You are literally in the process of the final stages of personal liberation. That sounds very dramatic, but I mean that most sincerely. And so this is going to have an effect on everything and everyone that you come in contact with. And I'm seeing some tears in your eyes because there will be a person that you will realize they don't want you to change. They want you back in the old way because it was a convenient, I'm getting the word, attack mechanism that they were able to activate, a put-down mechanism of you. But you're no longer going to fit that, and so they're going to be very upset with you. Don't worry about it. They'll go through their time, and then there'll be an opportunity for you to come back together and to have a communication, and you'll realize that what you've done for yourself is very, very healthy. You also physically are paying more attention to your own wellness, and you're interested in becoming more educated about what you can do for yourself. So your attitude about personal responsibility is really expanding, and you're determined that you are going to give to yourself the best that you possibly can because you've got some very special objectives you want to reach, and you're correct. If you take care of you, everything else is going to fall into place, and that is not being horrifically selfish in a negative way. It is being self-aware in a positive way. It means that you're alert, you're paying attention, and you're discriminating. And this is valuable for you. So you're going to do very, very nicely. It's slow but sure. This isn't on a fast track. This is very, very consistent and very much one step at a time. You're doing good. Don't give up on yourself. Do you have a question for me?
That's brilliant. Yeah, am I on the right track with going back to, or because I've been all over the map, music and to just use all my creative talents?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I don't see anything wrong with it. What are you doing? Are you going back to school? What have you got in mind?
No, just kind of working and putting together a cabaret thing.
All right. What I'd like for you to do, because you're in an environment that I just think New York is magical when it comes to the arts. There are just so many phenomenal opportunities. If you're putting together a cabaret, if you're wanting to do that, go for it. Have fun with it. But understand what you want to do is to develop a communication capacity where other people will bring the best of what they have to offer into the environment that you're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find a locale, I would say make sure you check out maybe two, maybe three places that would just be really positive for this cabaret,
mm-hmm.
and allow it to develop its own persona.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of hang loose with it. But I also want to encourage you to engage into what I feel is like a classroom environment with some younger people. And the reason I say this is that I am seeing someone that is just so talented, a young man, and also I'm seeing actually a group of about seven young people, and their ages are anywhere from 16 up to 27. And they will be engaged in a class environment type that's just wonderful. And the imaginative processes that will be thrown out, you're just going to feel like you're right at home. So I would like to encourage you to consider doing that. I don't know what your age is, and that doesn't make any difference. But I think you need to be around some people of like mind of a younger generation.
I'm with you. It's been a financial thing, why I haven't really been taking classes or anything.
Well, I believe that there is an option for you where you're not going to have to put out a whole bunch of money. You might be able to work as a volunteer within a certain environment. And don't feel like, gee whiz, that's not such a good deal. Who cares?
Yeah.
You're around the young people. You're around the environment of creativity. There may be an option that will be presented to you so you can afford to take the classes. So if you wanted to get a credential of any type or a degree, you can do it. That's all right, but I understand what you're saying because that is something that has to be considered. But there are many options for you to work with.
Great, I just have to take them. And, I mean, for career, for making money, does that seem like a way to go? And even including that with writing and just making money, earning my living creatively.
That is going to take you about 3 to 4 years to pull that together. So what you want to do, you want to have something that you're doing that you can enjoy. That's not going to be a big mental drain on you. That's going to be your bread and butter, and then allow the other stuff to come into play. Because if you're stressed over the money and you go anxious, then you're going to just pull in like a snail. You don't want to do that. I have to go, Helene. I've got
Thank
a break
so
coming
much.
Up here. Oh, you're
Thank
so
you.
Welcome. I'm so delighted you called in. Happy New Year to you, and you just have a very, very fine week ahead of you.
Thank you. You too.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be opening up the other phone lines. Come on, 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to talk about how to keep it simple and sane. Yes, we can do that in this vastly intense world that we live in. And sometimes I think it's just okay to stand down. And many times when we get too anxious about what maybe isn't flowing exactly the way we want, we can sometimes put ourselves in the way of opportunity. I wanted to share something about prepaid phone card fraud, and I came across this information, and I thought, wow, this is really something that's important. So many of us have cell phones, but I have used prepaid phone cards in environments where I couldn't get cell phone reception. And yes, there are those places on the planet, a lot of them, where your cell phone won't work. Cell phones are great, but they're not perfect. So you have that handy, and it saves you a lot of money when you can use it. However, there have been a lot of complaints from people, especially on the international scene, who have been using phone cards, and they are being, what they say, ripped off because they're not getting the amounts of minutes that have been promised. And there are apparently these nickel and dime fees that are added to phone calls, and by golly, they are being added whether you get someone answering the phone. If it's the line's busy, all these little fees are being attached. So it's apparently a big concern that for many calling cards that are out there, you only get 60% of the minutes promised. And they say when they have done the assessment of this, there is about $1 million a day, coast to coast here in the U.S., that is being absorbed by these companies, and the consumer is losing out. And they say the prepaid card companies have not been subjected to regulations, so there's not really very much in the way of rules or the enforcement of same. Now, apparently, within the United States, they're looking to change that. But there are particular cards at wholesale warehouses that are going to give you exactly what you pay for. So this is something that you can check out yourself. But just be aware, if you're doing international traveling, so many times when students go overseas, anybody goes overseas, having the prepaid cards are just an absolute blessing because it saves you a lot of hassle. So, and you don't have to worry about currency exchange or anything like that. You just use them. So this is something that needs to be thought out, and check it out. And maybe check out the Federal Communications Commission and see what they're saying on their sites about what is going on. But I did want to share that with you because we are so mobile in this world today. We are just going all over the place. People don't think twice about getting on a plane and hopping on that plane to go to China or to Africa or wherever. It's really very exciting. When I think back when I was a little girl, my grandparents, when they would fly, they were a very small group of people that actually flew. We have just come so far in being able to make it so convenient to be able to go from one place to another. It's really quite amazing. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756 for Canadians as well as people in the U.S. I have some quotes here that I really like, and the reason I'm saying quotes is that each of these individuals have something to say. And here we are in a brand new year, and so many of us are dealing with resolutions, and we often get stuck in what we maybe didn't accomplish last year. But I liked what these people were saying, so I wanted to share them with you today. 41-year-old Dara Torres, well, if you watched the Olympics, you saw this phenomenal woman, 41 years of age, the only swimmer to medal in 5 different Olympics. They would have been told, she would have been told, and I'm sure she was told, you're too old to compete. Boy, did she shock everybody. And she said, I'm hoping that I rewrote the rules for anyone who wants to do something and they think they're too old to do it. My goodness, she's going to be like a female Jack O'Lane. She's going to be out there accomplishing things when she's in her 70s and her 80s. But if people are going to say, no, that's not possible. You're old. She's going to say, forget this. I'm middle-aged. This is the type of thing we need to remember. How are we going to hold a concept of ourselves in our minds? What are we doing for ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally to keep ourselves where we know we can be? Now, I'm not asking you to try to revert back to 16 years of age. What I'm asking you to be aware of is that if you're a younger individual, or maybe you're in your 20s or your 30s, take care of yourself. There is so much knowledge about nutrition and how to do things for the body so that you stay strong, so that you stay healthy. If you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, that's not anything like it was 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, it used to be. Watch some of the old 1940 movies. Goodness gracious, the people there that were in their 30s and 40s look like antiques when you compare them with today. It's just a way of life. Our standard of living is so much better. The sanitation, we're not having to do such heavy, heavy physical work. So we're having a chance to take care of ourselves better on so many different levels. No matter what your age, if you're 70, 80, 90, or 106, the oldest American voter, Ann Nixon Cooper of Atlanta, Georgia, when she was asked about her secret to longevity, now this woman's got all of her brain power, she's together. She said, being cheerful had a lot to do with it. I've always been a happy person, a giggling person, a wide-mouthed person. Understand, who you are is not dictated by your age. Who you are, you carry with you 24 hours a day. Who you are is what you want to be. It's a conscious mindfulness. And you're always a work in progress. Isn't that a great way to think about yourself? You're a work in progress. You're the Michelangelo of the universe has created you, and you have an opportunity to be absolutely phenomenal. And you have the joy of living the experience. Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This day, right here, right now, get out a piece of paper and write down what you really, really want from the depth of your heart. Give yourself the time to do this. And then realize that if you can dream it, you can reach for it. And you never know what adventures you're going to experience in the process. Take your smile, share it with everybody. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.